Damaged Goods Podcast.
If you could smell with your ears, you would smell a delicious West Indian feast cooking. It's fucking hot in here. We got some oxtails on the stove, some rice and peas, some salads coming down the line, some festival bread perhaps, definitely some plantains, maduros, sweet plantains. But so it's warm as fuck, multitasking at a high level. My mother's here in the background. She's very quiet. She's like a sniper just sitting in the bushes, or like the monks, you know, the monks that don't talk. She'll be on an episode soon, don't worry. But yeah, so there's a lot going on, and I want to do this episode more recently. My fault, couldn't get to it. I'm doing it now. Maybe I'll do like an addendum. Is that what it's called? Where you bring in an extra. My mother in the background is giving me confirmation on my vocabulary. But what am I talking about today? I'm talking about a film that you should rewatch if you saw it in the 90s when it came out. And if you've never seen it, go watch it, because it still holds up. Because I just rewatched it with my girl recently. She'd never seen it. Right up her alley. It's a 1993 picture called Demolition Man. Sylvester Stallone, Wesley Snipes, kind of like the height of Wesley Snipes. I mean, heads forget, Wesley Snipes was a pretty big actor in the early, mid-90s, late 90s, until he got in some tax issues and fucking Hollywood blackballed him. But he was in a lot of big productions. Also, what's her name? The white girl from all the movies, all the rom-coms. The Bird Box girl. I'm not reading notes right now. You guys know that. Oh, Sandra Bullock's. You got Benjamin Bratt. You got Dennis Leary. And a few others. Oh, Rob Schneider, SNL. This is also when Rob Schneider was like big on SNL. He wasn't even like the hilarious comic relief, but he was in it. Dennis Leary was more comic relief. Demolition Man. 1993. Not a lot of dystopian post-apocalyptic future movies out at the time, although Terminator 2 came out the year before. And if you look at the two Terminators, they're both great films. The first one is, you know, it laid the groundwork, but I feel like the second one had more of a prophetic tone to it. What could happen if machines and what have you have a little too much power, too much AI, Skynet, boom, boom, bang. And now machines are fucking killing everybody. And John Connor's got to, you know, ride his little dirt bike with Budnick from Salute Your Shorts and roll with Arnold, get his moms out the fucking insane asylum and fight the Liquid Terminator, Robert Patrick. But this film, Demolition Man, comes out a year after that. It doesn't have the legacy of Terminator. It doesn't have James Cameron. In fact, the director, Marco Brambilla, I've never heard of him until I rewatched this, double-checked it. He really hasn't directed anything else noteworthy that you heard of. His first directing credit was a CNC Music Factory video, and not the big hit. But yeah, strange. But this is maybe one of the only other post-apocalyptic dystopian future movies in the early 90s. I know Strange Days came a little later, and now there's like a slew of them. Now it's cool that it's not even like a shocking thing. But Demolition Man was like maybe a little softer in some ways for the audience, and maybe a little more action-packed. But I found that it holds up so well because, God, if you thought Terminator 2 was prophetic, rewatch or go for the first time, watch Demolition Man. That is, it is eerily, is that the right word? Ma, is that the right word? Eerily? If it's eerie? Yeah. Eerily? God, we might both be wrong. But eerily prophetic. More accurate. A little more, maybe a little more realistic. You know? But It hits hard now more than it did back then. It was like, yeah, cool movie. Let's go watch it. I'm, 11? You know? Whatever. Action-y, fun stuff. You watch it now, especially after the last few years, you're like, holy fucking shit. Holy fucking shit. It takes place in 1996, which is interesting. It's set, at least the beginning, is set 3 years after it's actually being made, which is not that far, but it's a hellish, crime-ridden Los Angeles, and Wesley Snipes, aka Simon Phoenix, with a little bleach blonde hair and baggy overalls, is shooting, killing, karate kicking the shit out of motherfuckers and running crime. And Wesley Snipes is an ill martial art type dude. I don't really know if he has a background in it, but he's always whooping and kicking ass. But there's a cop. There's a super cop. John Spartan. What a name. John Spartan. Sylvester Stallone. He's the super cop. He's not just the super cop. He's a cop that won't play by the rules. He'll do anything to get the criminal, even if you got to bend the rules. Maybe break them. Maybe burn half a fucking city block and destroy vehicles and such to get that criminal. You know, the chief's always like, God, you know, get in my office now. Badge and gun on a desk. That kind of, but he always gets his man. It's a little dystopian in 1996. Just crime ridden. Wow. Wow-ish. Oh, yeah. By the way, spoiler alert. Fucking spoiler alert. This is a 20-whatever-year-old movie. 30-year-old movie. Christ. Jesus. God, I'm old. So, yeah. Spoiler alert. Fucking tough shit, dude. Cut the podcast off now. I'm not going to totally ruin it, but you're going to hear things that might not be a surprise when you watch it, which you should watch it regardless. Even if I spoiler alert it for you, watch it because it'll not only entertain you, but it'll educate you, and then you'll see what's going on now and be bugged the fuck out how similar things are. But yeah, cops, robbers, criminals, it's wild times. And then, you know, in the pursuit of apprehension of Simon Phoenix, Wesley Snipes' character, John Spartan, Sylvester Stallone crosses some lines. The mayor, the politicians, whatever, the powers that be, they're not pleased with his methods. They're too unsound. He's too dirty, hairy of a cop. He's too crazy. So he's also persecuted. They're both caught. But this, they're not locking dudes up in prison right now. Now, this was 96, 3 years ahead of 93. So they made a little futuristic scenario of what could happen 3 years ahead. They got cryogenic freezing machines. They're going to freeze you. You're not dead, but you're frozen in time. That's prison. They're going to freeze you, which seems weird and expensive, but maybe it is cheaper than prisons. I don't know. So they freeze them both. They freeze them both. The cop and the robber. Then some time goes by, and the audience is flashed ahead to 2032, 9 years from now. Not that far, but it's, you know, 38 years from the beginning of the movie. So it's the future. And now L.A. ain't L.A. no more. In fact, Los Angeles, San Diego, and Santa Barbara, which are all kind of quite far, they have been merged into one peaceful, utopian area, neighborhood, city, whatever you call it, San Angeles. You got the San Diego, Santa Barbara, Los Angeles. Consolidation. Those are, you know, big cities, Santa Barbara, whatever, but they're spread out. It's not that close, but it's all one now. You see consolidation take place nowadays in different forms, you know, businesses, political situations, you know, counties, maybe perhaps. There's, you know, people will talk about the 15-minute city. We don't have to get into that. Relax, dude. This ain't fucking InfoWars. I'm not Alex Jones. I'm not knocking Alex Jones, but I'm not being him. I'm just saying there's a consolidation of things that take place, you know, and perhaps in this future, in 2032, it happens. They push things together. Now, the mayor slash, God, if you got three big cities under your ring, you're damn near a governor. And these are three big ones in SoCal. He's got this utopian thing going on and everything's perfect. Crime's under control. They've taken certain measures to ensure the safety of the community, but as well as upholding certain standards of living that they want. You see this with a lot of governments, sometimes more totalitarian, maybe communist regimes, maybe democracies, whatever. Hey, this is the way we want it, and it's going to be like this, and we're going to do whatever we got to do to make it like this, even if it's a little crazy, maybe a little excessive. But hey, we got crazy crime. We got Simon Phoenix. We got a blonde Wesley Snipes karate kicking and shooting shit at dudes, and we got crazy cops like Sylvester Stallone, who's 5'6" and a lot of plastic surgery even back then. We can't have this. So we're going to lock up the criminals and the cops, and we're gonna make some rules that might seem a little tight, a little strict. Hey, crime's off the street. It's safe. And some people want that. People will allow governments, big or small, to exercise these kind of measures if it means, hey, we're going to stop that crime. We're gonna get those problems out of the way, because the problems got so bad, people were like, yo, whatever it takes, whatever it fucking takes, do it, do it, do it. And they do it here. And it's a little peaceful utopian society. This crazy mayor type dude who dresses like the fucking Pope. I mean, like, we're talking robes and the little hat joints. They're running shit and it's clean. And the city's clean. But this is like prophecy, man. Maybe more so than Terminator. There's levels of censorship in the society. And I don't just mean what you can and can't say, although that's a big thing. Censorship's a big thing. You can't swear. So I guess I'll backtrack it because it's funny how John Spartan, Sylvester Stallone, realizes and learns he can't swear. Some powers that be oddly unfreeze Wesley Snipes, Simon Phoenix. They unfreeze this criminal in the future. And they think they programmed his mind to do what they want. A mind control type thing. A little MK Ultra for you, if you will. So he'll do what they want. And they've not only done that, they've infused him with powers and skills of other serial killer, murderer, gangster dudes, which is a crazy thing. Why would you do that to somebody? You're giving him way too much dangerous power. And of course, it goes awry. Like the wiring in his brain with their little method didn't work. And now he's unfrozen, but he ain't listening to them. He's wilding out. He's bringing back crime that they ain't seen in 38 years. And they're freaked out. And their police force don't know how to handle it because guess what? There's no guns. The police force hasn't had to do shit for years. They haven't had crime like this. And they're tweaking out. They're scared because no one's been doing crime. No one's been killing, murdering, swearing, eating meat, fucking shooting. So they're bugging out. They can't control them. He breaks into a museum and acquires some firearms. Now, why would you have actual like ammo in the same museum as the guns? Whatever. Another little Snake Man rant on the side. But yeah, he's running havoc and they can't control him and they're worried. And it's the powers that be that have done this. Now, the police force don't know that. Some of the politicians don't know. But those those high up who unfroze him, they know. So what are they going to do? They don't know what to do. To stop a criminal from another time, they need a cop from another time. They need a tough, dirty, hairy-like cop who does whatever it takes to make the fucking the crime stop, to get his man to handle his business. So they got to unfreeze John Spartan. They got to unfreeze Sylvester Stallone. And they do. And then, you know, shortly after he's unfrozen, he utters a couple curse words, which is pretty normal, not just for cops, but for everybody. Have you heard my podcast? Have you heard me talk? Have you read my books? He swears, but no. Censorship in this utopian San Angeles fucking horrible-looking future that looks clean. You get a ticket, demerits, if you will. These little tickets pop out the wall, and now you got to pay a fine. You're not going to prison, but you're going to pay a fine because you can't say shit. Censorship. And we've seen censorship on the rise last few years. There's things I don't agree with, things I don't believe in. I don't necessarily want to hear it, but if I want to say what I want to say, if I want to speak my mind, express myself through art, or just be vocal, the way it works is a two-way street. You got to let these guys do it, even if you don't like it. Now, actions taken upon those words, that's different. That could be a crime, but just saying something isn't, even if you don't agree with it. Turn off the radio. Change the channel. Don't listen to these guys. Try not to interact with them if you don't like it. But you want to say your piece, they get to say theirs. That's how it works. Because when you start censoring any group or any person or whatever, the pendulum can swing. And maybe down the line, now you can't say your shit. And now books are banned and movies, and you can't, you know, you make a comment and you're a big actor in Marvel movies, and now you're apologizing to a foreign government because the movie studios you work for want to make money over there. So yeah, it's wild. So you can't swear in this future. Censorship. Kind of like now. Now it's not like you're getting censored for swearing, but YouTube will pull down videos. Even if you're talking about in an educational, news-like manner, oh, yeah, this person overdosed on drugs, or this terrible crime happened, the word drugs will get your shit taken down or flagged or demonetized. Even if you're not advocating, you're not bragging about it, you got to be selective. There's levels of censorship. Social media, got to be careful. I'm a dude banned from Facebook for nothing that I know about. So that's one parallel right there. That is, it's kind of wild when you watch the movie and you see where we're at now.
And if you listen to Damaged Goods, I've probably mentioned more than once about being zucked, being banned from Facebook. Violating community guidelines, but not telling me what. All I post is book promos, maybe poems, little writing ramblings, or the same funny-ass photo memes I post on Instagram. Same company, so it's nothing that Instagram won't let fly. So I don't know what, they didn't tell me what it was. And you know, somebody don't like you for whatever reason, they can just report you. Say, you know, you may hurt my feelings. They may hurt my feelings. Should tell me what I did, though, so I don't do it again in the future, but not just, boom. So anyway, yeah, censorship. And maybe, you know, it just sounds not so bad. Like, oh, you just can't swear in public. Well, you can't swear anywhere. And they're monitoring these people in the movie everywhere. So there's these little demerit machines that pop out, you know, whatever, tickets. I forget what they call them in the movie. But, you know, so you can't even do what you want to do, say what you want to say in your own home. Now, you can't smoke cigarettes in certain places. Fine, you can smoke outside, comfort of your own home. You have to drink alcohol in a bar, restaurant, sporting events, airports, or your own home. You're not allowed to drink on the street, right? Open container. In places where weed is legal or decriminalized, you can smoke in your house or in a location designated for that, but you're not allowed to blaze openly in the park or down the street. It's like an open container thing. But in your own home, at least you can do it. Not even with this, because it's an omnipotent, omnipresent government that's going on. It's Big Brother. They're monitoring you, and this is, you know, 2032, so you got to imagine in this sci-fi future, the monitoring skills of the state is amped up. It's ramped and amped up, and they got you everywhere. Watching every move, dude, clocking you, so you can't say shit. Big Brother, right? Pretty scary shit. A couple podcasts back, I was talking about songs that are really not about what you think, and one was Every Step or Every Breath You Take by Sting and the Police, and it's really about a stalker. But he also said it's kind of about surveillance and Big Brother, and, you know, England, London in particular, is the most surveilled city in the world. I got cameras everywhere. Well, just imagine in a crazy Demolition Man future where it's not just watching you, listening to you, you know. You ever hear horror stories about, you know, Stalin's era of Russia and shit like that? You know, if, you know, the rumor mill was working and word got back to people in the government that this person, you, maybe, not even definitely, might be affiliated with some other people doing something, or you haven't even done anything, but you thought you were thought to have done, or maybe were going to do. You're going to the fucking gulags, dude. They're kicking down your door. And maybe they're not doing that here in the Demolition Man shit, but they don't have to necessarily take it to those lengths. They're just kind of punishing you in a different way. Stopping freedom, essentially. But it's all in the name of, under the guise of bettering society. That's the Trojan horse. That's how they sneak it in now, and that's how they sneak it in the movie. Look, we're trying to clean up society. Look, we don't want crime. We don't want degenerates. Nobody wants that, right? Okay, cool. It sounds good, but it's a slippery slope, and I know that's become almost a cliche phrase as of late, but maybe it's cliche for a reason. You start on a path you think is good, right? Listen, we don't want these guys over here saying fucked up shit we don't like. Well, we don't want them doing it, right? So we don't let them do it, but we don't even want to say it, so they censor that. But when the pendulum swings, and maybe it doesn't even swing super hard one way or the other, just moves a little bit, a wee bit, well, now you can't say and do that. And then it comes to you, and now you can't say and do what you want. So you got to understand the two-way street of freedom of speech. It's not to be confused with freedom of action. You're not guilty for your thoughts, your feelings, or your beliefs. You might not agree with somebody's. I might not agree with yours, mine. But you're not guilty for those. You can be guilty for the actions that result from those. But here they got you monitored, and you can't do shit. And that's, you know, there's a supreme level of omnipotent surveillance now, dude. Fucking, we all got smartphones. You know, they got all your information on every website. They're always trying to sell you this, that, and the third, or, you know, tell you what you can't say. I remember months back, it came out that PayPal could take money out of your account or penalize you financially for anything they deemed, I guess, I don't know, not allowed on the internet, which is weird. Why is a payment middleman company that takes money from your bank to pay for things online? That's not even the bank. It's not the government. It's this middleman company. Why do they have a say to say, you know what? We don't like what Jake Frazek said on Twitter or Instagram or even his book, so we're going to take his money. And a lot of people stopped fucking with PayPal. I stopped fucking with PayPal. But that's how it starts, right? And then they can penalize you, if you will, financially for anything. Maybe they don't have to throw you in the gulag. They can throw you in the economic gulag, the social gulag, right? That's the idea behind the social credit score thing that I guess they have in China that many people fear could be coming to lots of other countries. And you kind of see that now. And that's what's going on here in Demolition Man, in this utopian but really dystopian society. And they frame it in the movie like they are now, that it's utopian. It's all good. Well, that doesn't exist. It never can. It's really dystopian because under the guise of bettering society, they're cleaning it up, but they're really limiting your freedom. And the only people who really benefit from this betterment, at least in Demolition Man, as in real life, are the people high up in the government. I guess it really doesn't matter if it's, a democracy, communism, socialism. Like, in communism and socialism, it really worked out pretty good for the people high up in power because they weren't suffering from these restrictions until someone higher up in power is like, you know what, I don't know if I trust these guys. I mean, Stalin was known, sorry I keep using him as a reference, but it's very applicable. He was known for, taking out a lot of his own people and becoming extremely paranoid and distrusting. And so even if you were up in the higher ranks of government, you necessarily weren't safe and free of fucking ending up in the gulag. If one day he thought, you know what, I don't know if I trust this dude. And so in Demolition Man, these guys high up, they benefit from this because they can kind of still say and do what they want, right? Do as I say, not as I do. I could be a governor of a state, a politician. I could be sitting on my vineyard and giving out COVID restrictions, but I don't have to do by them. I can fucking chill and party with everybody. And we see that level of hypocrisy going on now, and you see it in the movie, right? The parallels of Demolition Man. I know Terminator 2 is the shit. Terminator 1, the shit. Those are prophetic, but I'm telling you, revisit Demolition Man or watch it. Another parallel. God, I'm really hyping up Demolition Man like it's fucking, like it should be on a Criterion collection, like it's art housey. And it's not. It does have a lot of the cheesy action movie, standard shit, the templates. Sorry, sipping some water. But it also has all this shit that I'm sure when it was made in 93, you don't know how shit's going to turn out, but you think, hey, this would be a crazy future. And then it's kind of like this. There's a corporate consolidation in the movie. Everything is Taco Bell. Every restaurant, not saying that every restaurant is Taco Bell selling tacos, Doritos, Locos Tacos, Gorditas, Chalupas, and what have you, the infamous Mexican pizza, but Taco Bell owns, which is weird, it's owned by Pepsi, owns all the restaurants. And it's crazy to think that in the future, the fucking Taco Bell would be the superpower fast food chain that dominates. You'd think it'd be McDonald's, because that's, God, like the Golden Arches is like the second or third most recognizable symbol next to the cross in the world. But it's Taco Bell. And now if you look at nowadays, Amazon is pretty big. I mean, Amazon warehouses are everywhere. You might like to support smaller businesses, or order elsewhere. Sometimes it's cheaper on Amazon. Sometimes, fuck yeah, we're out of stock for 2 months, but you're about to leave for a trip and you need it tomorrow. Fucking Amazon's got it's a hard beast to fight. And then you could own something like Amazon, like a Bezos, and you could then buy, the Washington Post, a pretty big newspaper, and you might want to run for president, which sounds like a conflict of interest when you consider that if you own a big news publication and you want to run for office, you can say shit about these other guys. It's crazy. But there's a consolidation of businesses in not just America, but in the world. And, the last few years, an extreme consolidation of businesses. A lot of mom and pop shops. Dude, I'm full of fucking marbles in my mouth. My mother has been with me for a week, and I'm taking on her traits of fucking words up. Sorry, Ma. Love you. But yeah, a large consolidation of economic power, smaller businesses closed. They can't hang through these closings, these lockdowns. Big business can. And what happens when these other businesses go out of biz? They fucking swallow them up. Walmart style. Walmart would come into a town, beat the prices off all these other businesses. They can't compete. They all shut down. Now you got to go to Walmart. A Walmart tactic was opening two Walmarts in two adjacent towns, like pretty close together. Then maybe a year later, the one of the Walmarts closes. And this is after they've already put the smaller businesses out. So now one Walmart closes and now everyone's got to go to the other one. And they got a lot of jobs, but these aren't full-time jobs. And now if you're in the town that lost the businesses and then the Walmart, now you got to go to the other town. It's wild. So you see this consolidation of business in these days, right now. Amazon, your Walmarts, your whatevers. I mean, even Bed Bath & Beyond is fucking closing. And that's, a chain of house goods. It's crazy. But that's the corporate consolidation we see in demolition, man, dude. It's just less. It's almost like the monopolies you used to hear about, the Rockefeller days. Less people running more shit. And then when you have that monopoly, that crazy control, you can charge what you want. You can also just say, nah, you know what? We don't have this right now. We can't get this. Or you want this? Well, you're going to have to pay a little more. It's kind of crazy, but it's the way it is. It's a strange version of these politicians in the movie that act like they're doing all this for your good, but secretly, they're really the bad guys in the movie. Sorry, I know, spoiler alert. Well, you see that with politicians now. Hey, vote for me. You know, whether it's a guy saying, vote for me, I'm going to build the wall, and I'm going to drain the swamp and do all this because it's good for you. But they're really just going to do it for themselves. Or they're going to say, hey, we're going to forgive you student loans and decriminalize weed and let everyone out of jail for weed, and we're going to stop putting kids in cages. But they don't, and they just keep doing what they want for themselves. Acting like it's for your good, but whatever they do is for their good. That's what's going on in this movie. These guys dressed like the fucking Pope, and the second dude in charge, he's the fat-faced dude who kind of looks like a uglier Nathan Lane. I love my references. You know, these guys are chilling in their Pope clothes, living high off the hog, but imposing these fucking wild-ass rules and laws on society. And most of these people don't see it because it's just regular, right? Every day, you don't notice these changes. Now, if you're unfrozen from a cryogenic fucking freezer jail like John Spartan, Stallone's mind is blown. He's like, yo, what the fuck? You know, you got to be away from it a little bit to even notice it. Then you got people like the character Dennis Leary plays, Edgar Friendly. Him and his crew are deemed the bad guys by society because they go against the grain. They don't buy into it. They don't want to play by the rules. They live in the sewers, and they rob and steal Robin Hood style to feed the people, but they don't want to bow down. And so that's why they got Simon Phoenix out to fucking stop them. But, you know, these guys are living underground in the sewers, and that's kind of like, you know, they want freedom of speech. They want freedom of choice. You see people like that that are maybe not pushed physically underground, but metaphorical underground now, like, you know, maybe you're not on YouTube, maybe you can't be on Twitter, so you gotta, or definitely not TV, you gotta go to these other platforms to get your voice out. You're pushed to these ends of it by not just the governing bodies, but also regular society. People think, oh man, these guys are fucking bad, these are crazy, you know? And then you're further away from the masses. But Dennis Leary and these people, they live in the fucking sewers. They eating rat burgers and drinking piss-warm beer. But Stallone goes down there. He has a tasty rat burger. He's like, damn, I mean, it's not glamorous, but shit, at least these guys got freedom. And then Dennis Leary, this is like the height of Dennis Leary's popularity. He does a classic Dennis Leary rant in the movie that's straight out of any of his fucking stand-ups. He just does a Dennis Leary rant, which comedic historians would probably tell you is bitten from fucking Bill Hicks. But hey, that's another fucking monster. But all the news and the politicians and people, they'll tell you anybody with a dissenting voice or that doesn't go along with whatever the narrative is, and two narratives could really be backboned by one thing. So now you're off Facebook, you're off these things, and you're going to smaller platforms, which means smaller fan bases, so you're pushed underground. Maybe not in the sewer robbing for fucking whatever food you can get, but you know, you get my fucking point, right? Dennis Leary is actually pretty ill in the movie, and it's just funny that he's like that guy. I mean, this is probably right around the time of the cancer. What is it, Cure for Cancer or whatever, and the asshole song and all that shit. On the radio, when they listen to the radio, the oldies station are commercials. They're playing old fucking commercial ads as jingles. Stallone thinks it's funny, but that's the novelty. They're probably not allowed to play actual, like, music because, God, that might put ideas in heads. We don't want that. So here's a commercial for fucking Tide or whatever, you know, Ajax and fucking Ovaltine, which is probably gross. I've never had it. Or Bosco, if you're George Costanza, which I don't even know if that's real. But they play the ads, which is probably more brainwashing. Oh yeah, no sex, dude. When Sandra Bullock's and fucking Stallone have their first romantic encounter, it's going to be a VR sex. Sex is only allowed for procreation. Also, blows Stallone's mind. Spoiler, and again, they do actually finally physically fornicate, but it's a VR thing. And they say now, you know, procreation is down due to various reasons. I don't know, kids on computers fucking inside all the time. I don't know, whatever. But that's the parallel right now. You see a lot of kids staying in the fucking crib, talking on the internet with their, you know, significant others or people they're interested in, but not meeting people out in the old fashioned sense in person at a, you know, at a park or a bar or wherever. And definitely, you know, little procreation decrease. So that's an, I mean, that's not a correct, direct, even parallel, but it's just interesting that sex is not a thing in this future unless you're procreating. It's like taking away joys, but it's also controlling population. It's controlling people. That's what it comes down to. They said the cops were out of control in John Spartan's time, Stallone's earlier time. So they had to revamp the police force. No guns, right? That's why Stallone has to find some after fucking Simon Phoenix stole them all from a museum with ammo, which again, ridiculous. You're going to ban the guns. Fucking hide the ammo from the museum. But anyway, they do all that. And maybe that's kind of akin to how they were trying to revamp police forces recently. You know, cops killing people, maybe unlawfully, which is terrible. But you know, there's like the defund the police movement. You see crime up in a lot of cities. Maybe cops are less willing or they feel less appreciated. You could say there's a parallel there, right? And then it got so bad when fucking Simon Phoenix is out destroying things and karate kicking, they have to unfreeze this old school cop, Spartan, and go fucking, and go, you know, let him do his old cop shit. Be that crazy, dirty, hairy guy, you know? I'm not going to get into this. I'm not a guy who loves cops, but at the same time, I understand that the Wild West is a crazy, crazy concept for most people to live under, and they haven't, and they probably couldn't. So while we may not like police, some of us, just letting it be crazy like it is, it's a little nuts. It's really hard, I find, for humans and societies to find even ground, gray areas. We're so polarizing. We go from one fucking side to the other so fast. Is that our tribal instincts? I don't know. But there's big crime surges now. So what might happen is maybe, you know, they either have to let cops do some cop shit, but then that could be, again, slippery slope. Sorry for cliches. It gets back to the crazy shit. Who knows? Maybe we have to let a dirty, hairy cop come in to stop a, you know, 25-year crime rate high in cities like L.A. or what? You know, who knows? I don't know, man. Where's Batman, dude? Where's Bruce Wayne? The end of Demolition Man. I mean, I spoiled so much, but what do you think happens, dude? It's a Stallone flick. You know, good guy's going to win. But what happens to society? Do we see a change? Well, we do see that people realize, fuck, these levels of censorship and control may be a little strong. The government's hand got a little heavy. Maybe we need to change some things because we couldn't fix this problem without Stallone and his old school ways. Maybe we need to pump the brakes a bit. Taco Bell's good, but it ain't that good. You know, Sandra Bullock's, she realizes VR sex ain't shit compared to the real thing. There's other good food out there. Maybe a rat burger's all right. Let's bring back some meat. Oh yeah, they're trying to stop you from eating meat in the movie. That's why they're eating the rat burgers. A lot of talk about like, hey, let's get lab-grown meat or bugs. I don't think they're trying to make you eat insects because they want you to eat insects. Just think of the costs that are cut when you don't have to farm and do all this. Usually it comes back to money and power. They would make a lot more money, you know, feeding you lab-grown shit rather than the real thing. It's not because they want to save the earth. They're never really doing it for what they say. There's some kind of fucking behind-the-gates financial gang. And you see that going on in the fucking real world, just like Demolition Man. So, you know, who knows how it's going to end in the real world. But the movie, you know, we see fucking Stallone win. Maybe we got to get a Stallone. Maybe, who knows? Fuck it. I am definitely not Nostradamus or Nostradamus. Oh, also, the soundtrack, whatever, but Sting does the title track. Yeah, Sting, Police. Second Sting reference in the fucking episode. He does the title track, Demolition Man, which I don't even remember hearing in the movie. Kind of wild, but it's there. It's fucking funny. Kind of want to rewatch it just for that. I've referenced Sting twice in like 3 episodes recently. Fucking funny shit. But yes, Demolition Man. Rewatch it if you haven't in a while. Watch it for the first time. It's great. Fucking, yeah, it's probably on, I think it's on HBO Max, rent it for $2.99, whatever, get the VHS, run it up, dude. Check me out on the interwebs, on Instagram, at Jake Frazek, at JakeFrazek, at Damaged Goods Podcast, on Twitter, at JTheS, JTHS, JTHES, dude, I'm fucking brain dead, I'm running on like 5 hours of sleep for a week. The books, The Waiting Room, Quicksand, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, fucking audiobooks, ebooks, the whole 9, other stores, it's there, get them. Yeah, fucking dig it, dude. Enjoy it. Leave a review if you do. Have a good time. I'm telling you, dude, this movie is worth your fucking time. It's good. It's a little cheesy, but it's goddamn prophetic. Just don't watch it alone at night if you're sad and suicidal, because it'll make you worse.